This is the PNB Elections Committee meeting, December 21st, 2009. I'm Bill Crozier, calling the meeting to order. And Yosh, are you ready to call the roll, at least the people we have?
Yes, I'll give it a try with what I've got. Bill Crozier.
I'm here.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Jim Brown.
Here.
Steve Brown. Steve. Ithia Wangaza. Ithia. Tracy Larkins. Tracy. Wendy Schrell. Wendy. Anthony Theft.
Here.
Paul Pumphrey. Paul. Revelyn Gold.
Present.
And Yosh Yamanaka is present, and that makes seven. Our quorum is eight. Unfortunately, we are one short of quorum.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and continue, and if we get one more person on, then we can, we'll have quorum, and we can, if we need to vote on anything, we can. But I'd like to go ahead and go through the agenda if we can. Did everybody get a chance to look at the minutes? We can't really officially approve them without quorum, but if there's any corrections, we could note those. This is the minutes that Anthony took for our November 16th meeting, and he sent them out a few days after that, and then and I sent them out again yesterday.
This yes. Coach, I think I had one correction, but I'm not sure. I thought I may have said that we had KPFK had received approximately $2,500 in checks enclosed with ballots, and I'm not sure if I reported that at the last meeting.
It's not in the minutes.
Well, I know it's not in the minutes. I was wondering whether I reported that or whether I need to report that tonight. Anyone remember?
Oh, you know, I was looking at my notes from last meeting, and yes, just I wrote down they got some donations, approximately $2,500.
Yes, and then I would like to have that added to Anthony's minutes.
Okay. So, anything else anybody noted? Okay, well, we won't vote on them now unless we get quorum, but we can approve them next month if nothing else. Anything, let's see. I guess we're ready to go on. The next meeting date, the third Monday of January, is January 18th, which is MLK Day. Is that a problem for anybody? Should we change the date or?
The 18th, you said?
Yes.
What day of the week is that? I can't see the calendar.
Monday. It's the third Monday. That's when we usually meet.
Well, this is Yosh, and I'll be out of country until the 26th, so you might have to proceed without me.
Okay. Nobody else has a problem for that that we know of?
I don't see a particular problem now. Reverend, are you there?
I'm here.
Is there a problem with you?
I'm not sure. I don't have a regular life, so I just make a note of the meeting and, you know, I don't know. But I certainly will try to make it.
Okay. Well, we can't even officially, I guess, adopt a new meeting date or vote on that, but we'll continue as scheduled unless somebody or several people have problems with that date. It's just hard to find another date. Sometimes it's good for everybody. We've been through this before. Unless somebody wants to propose an alternate date now, and we'll have that we can find one that's agreeable to everybody. But I don't know of any evening activities that I would be involved in on MLK Day.
Well, could we send around an email a little closer to the date and find out then?
Okay.
How many people have a conflict?
Okay, that's a good idea. I did include it in one of the emails I sent out yesterday or today, but it was long.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think one person said that might be a problem, but nothing definite. Okay. Well, we'll scroll on.
Another thing, yes, to keep in mind. I know that I'm thinking, Reverend, you can correct me if this is not true, that by that date, WPFW probably will have elected their I know they will elect. We would have elected the delegates, but I mean the directors. But I think they will also be able. They might be able to appoint people to committees also. Should they be present? Or you?
Want well, you're right. If once the new committee members have been elected, then they should be on. Now, isn't that right? I guess the directors though won't be able. They won't be. We won't know which directors will be on until the in-person meeting end of January.
Yeah. Because they get elected from the that meeting.
Yeah. Does anybody else know if if there's a precedent for that? I was thinking in terms of February. You know, that hopefully the new committee members would be present. I don't know. I guess. I mean, you probably should ask for clarification from the PNB.
Yeah. Normally, what happens is that we stay on these committees until the other folks are elected. And I would assume that means that after the first PNB meeting.
I think it's always been that way. Whether it should be or not, I wouldn't venture a guess on, but I think that's how it's always been.
Yeah, I know our LSB is not planning to meet until the 20th to elect, you know, to be electing committee members and things like that. So it would be after that time anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's tentatively plan on continuing for the January 18th MLK Day for the next meeting, and then I'll send around a note to everyone. Okay, update on status of elections at each station, and what I put on the agenda was also and compile lessons learned, good and bad, for next year. We've already done some of that at the last meeting, so I guess if maybe we can just concentrate on what else that you haven't already reported, and we can include this in our minutes and. KPFA, anybody want to report on that? That's you, Bonnie, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just switching headsets here. I'll be right there.
Okay.
Hi, sorry.
Okay.
Anthony, did you want to start?
I don't know what the throw in at this point. I mean, we were the first to finish, so.
There were a number of problems, in my mind at least, a substantial amount of people having difficulty getting ballots, and it was concerning to me that I did hear of people that tried to get their ballots but did not get contacted. But I wouldn't say that it was as large a problem as we've experienced in other years. It didn't seem to be quite the extent that I remember from other years, particularly when we had sent everything on an election year in the middle of the election, third class. There were a lot of problems with the scanners and equipment. Maybe because KPFA was the first, but they ended up having to do hand recopies of hundreds and hundreds of listener ballots, setting up, since there are sort of two groups of people, making sure that they had people that represented each side sitting there observing this, because the scanner was picking up any tiny little dust mark or imperfection in the paper, sometimes as a vote, or not picking up other votes. And it was many nights of this to get through the ballots, many nights. And to my mind, really unwarranted anxiety and contention. The staff ballots, I think they had to recopy a third of them or more because of these same problems. And then, you know, I just don't think it's a very reasonable process that the vote counting ends up extending over a two-week period because people are not able to be there as observers on a regular basis and still go about their regular lives. And it makes people really uncomfortable. And toward the end, you know, every station, I'm sure, has a few people that are kind of very STV and computer savvy who were going through the scans and going through the data and coming up with fixes on particular ballots. And because the chain of command was so stretched out over such a long period of time, it just left a number of us feeling very uneasy. There were other problems at KPFA in that rather than barcodes being on the ballots for all of the listeners, they printed the listeners' Memphis numbers.
The listeners' what numbers? Sorry?
The listeners' account. You know, when you contribute to the station, you're assigned an account number.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, who knows really how, I assume by somebody not being on the ball checking, rather than barcodes, which we've always made a point of this very important barcode element of this for confidentiality and security, listeners' account numbers were used.
Oh, God.
So the listeners' ballots did not have barcodes on them. This led to a number of really bizarre problems. One being that if you're a couple in any sense, you can contribute $50, but you can write with your contribution that you want this to be for two people, you know, so that each of the two people is reaching the $25 limit that they need to attain in order to be a member. But you're not then, but if you're listed as a couple, you only have one account number between you, so that both of those people had ballots. If they both got a ballot, it had the same number on it, rather than individual barcodes. And I'm not even sure what they ended up with as the solution to this. What Les had told me his planned solution was that they were going to look up everybody that came through with a duplicate number, and if he, by hand, ascertained that they were a couple, they would have two numbers. I didn't really get it. So that was kind of disquieting. Further difficulties arose because a number of people who, rather than paying $25 or more, are registered as voters because they come and volunteer in the phone room or volunteer in other ways at the station, you know, do their 3 hours or more of volunteer work. Because they're not becoming members by giving money, they don't have a Memphis number. So their ballots came to them with no numbers. And there were, I think, several hundred of those. I don't know what they figured out with those. I really don't. There were also to say it mildly, I would say confusions over eligibility to run. And I'm not going to really go further into it, but I would, in my opinion, this committee was right on the mark when it was moving toward hiring an independent company to run these elections. I am really not happy with the thought that we try to do this as though it's just a bunch of friends out on a picnic. Because it just leads to stuff like this, and people can't help but have feelings about different people participating in the election, and it just leads to so much animosity and leaves everybody wondering how secure and correct things could possibly have been carried through. And I think it's fair to say that that comes from people on either side of the divide, ideological divide. So, you know, we got through. We had an election. I guess that's what I have to say.
Anybody else from KPFA want to add anything?
Oh, yeah, this is one thing that's been raised before. Anthony here.
I'm Anthony Norton, sorry.
That's been raised as an issue before, having the return addresses on the outgoing ballots being the national office than that. Hopefully that's a problem so easily noted and fixed that if that happens again, that'll be shameful. Not that I don't think there are any allegations that anyone got hold of those returned ballots and voted them, but just as a matter of security, that shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be possible. It shouldn't be conceivable.
Anthony's the nice one here on this subject, and I'm not. But I will tell you that that program was brought to the very same people's attention 2 years ago, two elections ago, and in the last election.
Hmm.
So, because I'm one of the people that brought it to their attention, because I walked into the national office, and the national election supervisor was working out of an alcove without a door on it, and there were thousands of ballots laying on the floor.
They were returned?
They were returned, so they were active ballots, not ballots that had been filled out. These were all the ballots that had been sent out but had been undeliverable, so had come back and were laying on the floor in gigantic piles, all of them with active barcodes.
This was 07?
07 and
wow.
06, I think, too. Mm. So I would just ask that we really make a note of it. Maybe it needs to be imprinted a little bit more strongly so that it actually gets corrected next time.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems so easy to correct.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that is a problem.
I'm sorry, this is Yosh. So what is the quick fix for this problem with the undeliverable ballots being returned? Where should they be returned to, and how?
The return address should be the P.O. box to which the completed ballot would be sent, and that way only the election supervisor can have access to them.
Okay.
They won't be sitting in an open office.
The only thing with that, though, doesn't that cause a problem with quorum? Would you maybe want to have a different return address for a different box?
Oh, that's a possibility, yeah.
So that you would know the difference between ones that
oh yeah
had actually been voted
mm-hmm.
and ones that work just coming back because they were undeliverable for one reason or another.
Hmm.
Well, the envelopes are different. If somebody's checking the box regularly during the return
period. Oh, right, that's true.
Period,
that's true.
Somebody would have to be checking them so they could find out which ones are returned so they could
right.
See if it's a different new address. Okay. All right, well, anybody have any other questions about KPFA?
Not yet.
Okay. I guess you did get maybe the worst of the situation since you were first to test out the new ballot scanning software. And I do remember Les said that there were problems on that ballot, plus maybe it was at KPFK or WBI that had such a long ballot. And what they did, they wanted to cram them all onto 8.5 by 11 paper, and so the spaces were very close. You know, the boxes were small, and
it was the same for us.
Okay, and so presumably the layout of the ballot caused some of the problems with the stray marks. It was had to be very sensitive to pick up small marks.
Not just that, but the envelope that's inside that you send your ballot back in, it's smaller. So you have to fold the ballot in a sort of a natural way.
Okay.
And then when they're opened, they all have to be really carefully flattened. And I mean, it's just like, dough.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be good if we just did this so that there was just one fold.
Okay. All right. Well, so we're going to KPFK. I think that was the next station that they're ballot processing.
Sure. I'll be happy to report for K. And as I think most people on this committee are aware, the scanning problems experience at KPFA were to a great extent cured by software fixes. And by the time they ran the software at KPFK, we didn't have quite anywhere close to the number of problems that KPFA had experienced. We were pretty much satisfied. The main problem, and I think Anthony noted this, is that our ballots really need registration marks, those little X's or something or another, two sets of X's somewhere on the ballot so that the software can actually get itself aligned and say, that's the first X and here's the second X, and therefore, you know, all of the blocks should be, you know, in certain discrete positions instead of the flatbed scanner, which means that without registration marks or whatever they're called, you know, it doesn't really know how. Well, anyway, it has a problem, and it's a very simple fix. So the next time the NES prepares the ballots, just make sure that we've got those little two pairs of X's somewhere on the ballot, so that the software can align the ballot properly. Very easy fix. And I think next time, Bonnie, next time you folks have an election, I think your failure rate will probably be, you know, 5 or 10% or less next time. And I just wanted to reiterate, I don't think we were online, just that we received several dozen checks with our ballots, and I think we were in excess of $2,500 in donations at KPFK. Other than that, I think most of the report was pretty much the same as I reported a month or two ago.
Okay, great. Anybody else have anything to add about KPFK or questions? Nobody else is on here from KPFK, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yes, this is Wesley. I was wondering, did you send a slip of paper requesting donations at KPFK?
I, to the towel. I couldn't tell you whether we did. I know certainly our committee had discussed that many times. I don't know if it was actually implemented by the NEF. So I don't recall actually when I voted looking for anything like that. I don't recall seeing that. So perhaps not. I think they might have been strictly voluntary contributions from the goodness of their hearts.
Got some good folks out there.
Okay, well, move on to KPFT.
Other thing that I do want to repeat, I think, and that is that two of our volunteers had erroneously peeled off barcodes, and they had to be reattached. So when the local election supervisor is recruiting volunteers and training volunteers, it has to be really clearly emphasized to the volunteers that if you see something that looks like a barcode anywhere, do not peel that off, because that could cause problems with validation.
But it was caught and they were able to put the correct barcodes back on the right ballots?
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
But that happened on at least two or three. Two during the opening of the envelope process and one or two during the scanning process.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll move on to KPFT. Wesley, you want to say anything about the ballots here?
I'm sorry. Will you repeat what you said, Bill?
Do you want to say anything about the elections or at KPFT?
Oh, I can't think of anything offhand.
Okay. Well, I'll say we didn't have a lot of interest, frankly, in the vote counting. There were several volunteers to help the first day. They got them all processed in, I guess it was 2 days or 2.5 days. They had to extend the staff election, by the way, by 1 week because they didn't get quorum. Or they were counting envelopes. They were right at quorum. They wanted to make sure they had enough in case some of them were invalid. And we did okay. I don't know how much money was collected. I wasn't there during much of the, I wasn't count there during any of that, the opening of the envelope, so I don't know about that. I was going to say, I was just looking at my notes here, or looking at my file here. With our ballot, there was a letter from our GM who was, I don't know if there's something Les wrote and he signed it, or because it doesn't look like our GM's signature. But it was, encouraging people to vote, and it also asked for people to make a contribution. So maybe that went out with all the ones from all the stations.
I know that it went out with ours.
Okay. So I know that's something our committee had recommended, but I wasn't sure until we got the ballots if that really happened. There was a problem still with people not getting ballots. They didn't get a whole lot of complaints, I didn't hear, but there were some. We have about 200 staff people, but they had about 50 of them that didn't have addresses for. I talked to our LES about that, and she couldn't get them. Mostly working through our program director, and he has emailed requests to get current information, but I think there seems to be need to be more follow-up or something, because this happens every time. And even one of the candidates didn't get ballots, and nobody on his show got ballots. and he lost. And so I think we need to try harder, and I guess this is a continuing problem at all stations. One thing, I was talking to our development director, who's also in charge of membership, or other people run in charge of membership, work under her, and she's real familiar with MEMSIS. And I was surprised. Apparently, they don't use the MEMSIS database to look for staff names and addresses. It seemed to be a real obvious thing to me. They've got a separate list of staff, but apparently, I'd only checked this after the ballots were all counted and everything. Apparently, they didn't check to see if the staff members were in the MEMSIS database, the member database. Because if they were, they could have gotten addresses probably for at least some of them. So just lots of little things like that that I think we need to come up with a list of all the possible recommendations we can think of to make things work better next time. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah. Just piggybacking on your last observation, you know, I guess there has to be a check between the MEMSIS database and the staff list, because otherwise it's possible for a staff member to receive a staff ballot and receive a listener member ballot from the MEMSIS system.
I think some of them did, or at least I know I was personally told by some, at least two staff members, that they got listener ballots. Now, one of them, at least one of them, maybe both of them said they did not get staff ballots. So maybe they didn't get both.
I know,
but some of them got the wrong one. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a listener ballot because I'm a member, but I did not receive a staff ballot.
You have a show, right?
So,
yeah.
Okay.
So clearly, you know, someone has to be, you know, checking MEMSIS to make sure that staff members are not being mailed listener ballots as well.
Yeah.
I'm making a note to check with our membership that for the next election that they make sure that there is a distinction and that there's somehow staff members ought to be noted in the system as staff members.
So, yeah, well, one thing, and this is the kind of thing, even if we contract out much of the work, like Bonnie was talking about earlier, those of you new to the committee, we talked about this a whole lot last year and early this year and came up with a proposal, a request for proposal when we solicited bids, proposals from several election vendors, you know, companies that process, that handle elections for nonprofit organizations, you know, all the time. But the, that was basically ignored, I'll just say that. And so that didn't happen. And so I still think that would have been, I agree with Bonnie, I think that would have alleviated a lot of the problems, although we're still going to have a way of getting correct and complete, at least as complete and correct as possible, member and staff lists to whoever does this. And I don't think we should wait till they get an NES hired and then LESs to start
right.
Checking through these databases. It's just not enough time. Okay, well, anybody else have any questions about KPFT, though?
Those staff who didn't get ballots, did they follow up with the election supervisor and eventually get ballots? Or?
No. Apparently, I asked the person that, you know, who's the candidate, and he said none of the people in his show got them. There are four people in his show that are on the show regularly. But he said that their producer apparently was the only one who contacted him, and he contacted our PD, our program director, which was not the right way to do it. Now, I don't know why the PD didn't say, please contact our LES. That's what he should have done. But I don't know why they didn't contact the LES directly either, because there was at least one sign posted, and there were numerous emails sent out saying, you know, if you didn't get a ballot, contact our LES. And it was also on our website. Maybe not real prominent, but... but if there's, you know, if they know they didn't, our LES knew she didn't have addresses for everybody, either because they were returned, the envelopes were returned, or they were blank. So if there's that, if they know how many people are missing, it seems like we need a process for finding those people's addresses. Apparently she didn't feel like she had time to call or try to track down everybody in person. She didn't have phone numbers for a lot of them either. Mm. But, something to add to our list. Okay, so we're going with WPFW?
Yeah. And Reverend, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. If I leave out something, you know, fill me in. The biggest concern we had throughout the election was the fact that many of our staff people, like 100 of our staff people, it may be 102, I think, of our staff people did not receive ballots at first.
Wow.
They didn't get ballots until late, and they were eventually able to vote, but they were left off the mailing list in the beginning. We found out about it, and we protested, I think, Tootless, and they did, in fact, get the ballots together and sent out the ballots to staff. I still did not get a ballot even after that second attempt. What I had to do was to, I went to the station and saw the local election supervisor, and she gave me a ballot in hand and registered it there on her list, and I voted that way. And several of the other staff people who were on air did the same thing because they still didn't receive their ballot. The other problem we had was, of course, with announcing the candidate statement. The most dreadful problem we had was that the election came in the middle of our fund drive. And so as a programmer is on air trying to make his goal, he may forget to run an announcement, and there was no real follow-up and no real consequences to missing those announcements. And so we had to make a plea to the program director to stay on top of that, and that created a problem for us because we still didn't get all of the candidates aired on a regular basis, and some candidates got aired more than others, and there was no real system to. I'm changing phones because my phone is dying here. And
yeah, you sound better now if you're clearer.
Still there, Jim? Revelyn, you want to add anything while we're waiting for Jim to call back?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
One of the things, if I can frame our election, when we first got noticed that 7 people had to rerun that had been, certified in the previous election and serving for over a year, and all of a sudden these 7 people had to run again. And they were already serving on committees and doing all of that. And that it was because Les Radke said so, and of course we were saying,
I connected myself.
Okay, Revelyn's giving us an update too.
Good. Okay, go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, Jim, they asked me to continue in your absence, in your brief absence, but I was starting at with Les asking that the 7 of us that had to run again that had already been serving and certified run again, and the answer was seemed to be because even though we were certified and not serving, it wasn't legal, and he had the authority to do it. So that set a tone of a hostile tone for us for the election, and so candidates were forced to sort of run under a level of duress and guarding whatever else came up. So all of the irregularities that Jim is talking about, and there are quite a few more, I'll give the floor back to Jim. But all of those irregularities, proceeded after the initial shock that we were illegal the seven of us. So, Jim?
Yeah. And she's right. That did create a serious problem with many of our candidates, not only the candidates that had to run again, but new candidates came in. Also, some serious problem with the fact that they had to compete against folks who had already been on the LSP and were running against them again. The other major problem we had was that during the expansion period, during the period where the election was extended, the new ballots that people received did not have the return address on them that said that they came back to WPFW. And so that in itself could have affected our election tremendously, because the replacement ballot did not have WPFW's address on it. So we don't know where they went.
Wow.
So this is only that when the new ballots, they had a different address for the on the envelope.
It didn't have a WPFW's address on the envelope.
Oh, no address at all.
Well, they had an address. Some of them had an address that went to California.
I think I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not the return address, like if they're not undeliverable. This is the. The
this
address,
is when,
the return on
right.
had that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That presented a very serious problem for us, because then we really were concerned about whether we would make quorum or not. We did make quorum, but it was very, very, it was a very serious problem that was noted and reported to Les at that time.
Do you know who did those? Were those the local election supervisor, or who sent out the replacement ballots there on? I was clear.
Well, if I may, Lydia kept saying that they were coming from Les, and that she was waiting for them, and so it seemed that they were coming from wherever the central place was. And, you know, she had apparently, if you didn't get your ballot, one of the things that I had to do was I had to go to several public forums, and I passed out little pieces of paper that said, if you did not receive a ballot, call Lydia Harris at this number at WPFW and leave your name and address. Because they didn't run ads that said, if you didn't get a ballot, call in.
Right.
Once we found out that a lot of people didn't get ballots. So we kind of had to force that to happen. And so once it happened, we had to wait for the ballots, and we were running out of time, and that's when we got our extension, because it was going to be like 2 weeks to get the ballot and get it back in by the same date. And we said, no, you have to give us an extension. So we got that extension of time. But then when people started getting their ballots, that's when we realized that mine, I got a ballot with a envelope inside that was just like a white envelope that had been folded. And that was the return address. It didn't even say where I was going. I should return it to. And then some people got one that the return address was in California. So, you know, we don't know how many ballots we lost, and certainly we don't know how many people never even got a ballot.
Did your local election supervisor say anything about the ones that went to California? Or did Les?
Nope.
So you don't know what happened to them?
Nope.
Okay. Have you heard anything, Jim?
No, I have not.
And I can perhaps shed a little bit of light. Over at KPFK, we did receive two or three.
What is that?
That sounds like Satan.
During the election, when we were opening ballots, we noticed that several of them, maybe three or four, were ballots from KPFT. And so those ballots and the envelopes or the barcodes were given to Les Radke for, you know, transshipment.
No, who is this and which station are you at?
This is Yosh, and this is receive it in Los Angeles.
Okay, Yosh, your voice is, something's happened to your phone. It sounds really strange.
Yes, I'm on low battery, and you might lose completely.
Low battery makes you sound satanic.
Okay. Very low pitched.
I'm gonna switch phones.
Even deeper than Paul Robeson.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I think he just dropped off. Okay, hope he can call back. Anybody else have any questions or... anything about WPFW?
Oh, wait a minute. That's not all.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay.
Jim, are you finished?
Just about. I'm looking over my list. I think I got everything that's on this list. The one thing that we know created a problem with us was that the coordination of the election itself and the station and the fund drives and so forth and so on was created a huge problem for us. So it might be a good recommendation to have the national election supervisor to find out at various stations when their fund drives are and try to schedule the election so that it still meets within that it does happen within the time frame it's supposed to happen, but that it doesn't interfere as much as it did at our station with the fund drive.
Yeah, that's important too.
That's a good idea. Okay.
We had one candidate, Mark Baker. He was at he did all the requirements. You know, he appeared at the public forums, he was on the radio, he did his, you know, listener candidate statements. And when the ballots came in, and when the final count was, he did not make it. You know, he didn't get enough votes, and was listed as a write-in candidate. And it was absurd, because he was not a write-in candidate, and he participated 100% fully. And nothing has been done about that.
No, this is a candidate who was not on the ballot?
He was on the ballot. And when they finished counting, they said that he did not receive enough votes and that they listed him as a write-in candidate. And he was not a write-in candidate. He was listed among those that we voted for. I was one person who voted for him.
Okay. So they incorrectly listed him as a write-in.
No. They did their counting.
Yeah, after the counting. Okay.
In order to rectify whatever they did, right or wrong, they listed him as a write-in. But he was not a write-in.
I don't see how that would rectify anything, but...
Well, what I'm saying is they had to at the end say, okay, we're finished. So in order to say we're finished, they just listed him as a write-in and say he didn't make it.
Yeah, they should have just said he got this many votes and it's not enough or whatever, and ranked him... You know, the runners-up are supposed to be ranked by, you know, how many votes they get, or actually when they're, how quickly they're eliminated during the different steps during the ballot processing, so that when you have vacancies, the next runner-up is automatically on your board.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, do you think he's not listed correctly in the order of runners-up then?
Exactly. I'm saying, what I'm inferring is there's no way to know whether he got enough votes or didn't, because at the end of it, it's a misrepresentation of his position on the ballot.
Okay. Do you know, did you, because I don't think any of them are posted on the website yet. We were talking about this earlier, but did you see the Choice Plus Pro, the computer output that gives all the tabulations? Was that candidate listed there as being eliminated during one of the stages of the counting?
I'm sorry, we only got the final, right, Jim?
Yeah, that final. On that, was he listed as? I'm trying to find it now to make sure.
What I'm wondering, if you only got the list of who was elected, or if you got a list of all the candidates with how many votes they got in each round.
Yeah. And
I got the ones, we got, those of us at KPFT got that information, but they haven't put it on the website yet, so the public doesn't know that.
Yeah.
We didn't get, we just got the order that they came in.
Right, that's
okay.
And therefore, you know, who was elected for 3 years and who was elected for 1 year.
Okay, I guess something I need to do, I guess, is talk to Les and make sure all those Choice Plus Pro outputs, the complete files, and as well as the ballot images that we talked about that earlier, are put on either the Pacifica.org website or the individual station's website somewhere where people can access those and check them.
Normally it's done, but I haven't seen it this year.
Well, I know I asked earlier, and I was told it was going to be done, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. Anything else on WPFW?
Hold on, and let me see. I'm looking over. I tried to send this email to everybody, but because I'm not on your listserv.
Right.
They wouldn't let me do it. Because we had a lot of letter writing where people stated the problems that they were having. When we, for instance, when it was time to count the ballots, they took them to Fair Vote. There really wasn't a clear chain of command. Let's start there. They took them to Fair Vote, and apparently there were not enough observers, or there were not any observers. So then they took the ballots, and this is Lydia and Les, took the ballots and went down to WPFW, and so that they would at least be around some people when they started counting. And so the one or two people, I was one of the people that was going over to Fair Vote to watch, and Renee, our newly elected chair, was on her way. And when she got there, I couldn't find it, but when she got there, she was told that they had left a half an hour ago to go over to WPFW so that they could be around some people when they started counting. I mean, there doesn't seem to be either a seriousness of the election process or you can write a bunch of words down and say there has to be a clear chain of command and whatever, but if there's nothing to ensure that that is followed with any consequence, what is the point? And that's what we look at, because when there's so many holes at the very end, what happens is that there begin to be large mistakes made, and there's no way to fix it because there's so many holes along the way with no consequences.
Okay. So when they moved back to WPFW for the vote counting, how did the candidates who came, or whoever came late, how did they find out? Was there somebody at Fair Vote told them, or
yes,
So it wasn't, there was no announcement broadcast on the air or anything. They had to go to to find out that it had actually gone back over to the station.
Fairvote was the one who told them, and then people got, because I was called to say, you know, I'm at Fairvote and they're not there. And I had called someone else to say, I can't find Fairvote. You know, so that's, I mean, that's kind of how we found out.
Okay.
So I just think that there needs to be a different approach to the election. That's why I'm glad I'm on this committee, because I think elections are very important, and somehow or another, our listeners, you know, are a part of it, but not really involved, not, you know, mentally, spiritually, and, you know, really involved in it at a, you know, at a large scale. I know some people are, but,
okay, well,
you know, the election just kind of happens.
Okay,
and especially when, like Jim said, when it hits up against the fund drive, it, you know, we were told almost like, well, you know, we're in the middle of a fund drive, and we can't, you know, we can't keep running these statements, you know, because the fund drive, because we need money. Yeah, well, then we have to schedule it differently, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay, so regarding recommendations to make things work better next time, what do you suggest if there's a chance you'll have a problem with their, wherever the vote counting is, they don't have enough observers? What do you think they should do differently?
Well, I think they should always have a plan A and a plan B, not just a plan A. You know, this is where we're going to have. First of all, if you're going to have the vote and it's going to be at a specific place at a specific time, that needs to be broadcast, and it needs to be broadcast in a way that makes people want to come out and be a part of it. Not
and broadcast
just,
the plan B, too, you're talking about?
Yeah, well, broadcast the plan A, but if the plan A doesn't happen, you have a plan B. And, you know, so you say that any changes to this, you know, to this will be noted, you know, by calling this number, or and it'll be posted on the door, and it'll be, you know, you don't broadcast the failure of plan A, but you at least have a plan B in place. You see what I'm saying?
So people can find out what the changes are, right?
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
And one other suggestion would be that all the stations assign somebody to do a daily update on the website, and then drive people to the website for those updates.
That's good.
Any changes that happen will be immediately posted for people to go to and get the information they might need.
Yeah, this is Bill again. I'll just add that you reminded me that something sort of similar happened at KPFT. The ballot counting went faster than they thought, and so they started on a Friday afternoon, and then they were going to continue on Saturday, and they decided, since they made really good progress Friday, that they didn't need to go to this other place on Saturday. They didn't need the extra space because they didn't have a lot of people. They didn't know. So they moved it back to the station for the second day. But some people didn't know that. I remember they sent an email out to the candidates, I believe, and to the LSB that night. But if you didn't check it then, you might not have noticed. So I heard from one or two people who went to the the other location on Saturday, the second day. And I think they finally figured out what happened, but it caused extra confusion for a couple of people.